Okay, at this time, I would like to call the Kenosha County Broadband Advisory Committee to order. We do not at present have a quorum available, but we will go through the items that are discussion. So we would invite anyone, any public comments at this time? Would anyone like to make any public comments to the committee? Comments? If not, we will close public comments. We will go past item number three because we don't have a quorum. But we do have minutes are available both online now, or you don't post them online until they've been approved.
Correct.
Yeah, so. So I guess we'll go to number four. So it's our pleasure to introduce to all of us Ben Taggart, who is the interim chief information officer for Kenosha County. Sean played an integral part in our committee, and we expect you to as well, Ben. Do you have any comments or thoughts you want to share with the committee, please?
Hi, everyone. Thanks for letting me join in and sit in today. Playing a lot of catch up, so I'll do my best to just sit, listen, and not disturb anybody.
Very good. Thank you. On the status report on previous committee recommendations, Joe, could you share us that you started the outreach that we talked about at last month's meeting? Could you just share you attended?
Sure. Yes, I did attend a couple of school open houses and distributed literature and made quite a few connections with people. They were productive, I thought. I was in Bristol, where I talked to a gentleman who had just spent $8,000 to run a cable up his driveway. So he had a keen interest in what we were doing, but had dozens of people who were happy to receive the literature and said they would follow through with it. Also went to Brighton, where I talked to quite a few people who had stories that would be familiar to those of you who live in Brighton. High-speed internet horror stories. A lot of people who already have taken the survey, and I encourage them to do it again. So I think that was ultimately a productive exercise. I think we're going to talk about still trying to get out to the dump sometime soon in Brighton, the town's number one meeting place.
This week or next?
Not this week or next. So we're continuing in that regard. As far as other recommendations, we have Janae Townsend right there, who did want to join us today just to speak a little bit about the park's Wi-Fi issues. That's okay with you, Mr. Chairman. Allow her to share where you're at on that.
We are currently in the gaining scope, reviewing each site separately, and determining what the scope of work should be. Obviously, the first priority is getting our broadband into our parks, which is quite an undertaking. Specifically, Scott pointed out today that just to run fiber optic cable into Silver Lake from Highway H is about 3,600 feet. So you can imagine the cost that's involved in that. We're currently working through a DNR application that will allow us, it's called an easement, DNR easement. That process in itself is new to us, specifically me. And so we're working through the issues and trying to make the right connections to make that happen. Once we get that application started, we'll send it over to the county board for approval on that easement. Of course, we also have our other projects with Old Settlers, Kemper and Anderson. Those two projects, scope-wise, fairly easy, fairly non-complex, but still costly in itself. So at this point, we're just pulling the final numbers together. We're making the connections we need to make, and then also having to get those meetings with five different vendors that we're dealing with is obviously difficult at times to try to get that all coordinated at the same time. We've got a meeting on the books Monday, the 18th, to talk to our final vendor for the last site, which is the Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park is our last site. So we'll finish that scoping. And then we've got a meeting on the 25th, with Shelley and with Matt Collins and our team, obviously, to talk through what we found in scope, what that looks like from a budgetary perspective, and how we either narrow the scope and fit the budget in, or whether we need to come back here and talk about what we found and where we sit as far as budget numbers look like. So, any questions? My summary. So we have two final estimates left. We've got the ECI estimate for Veterans Memorial Park. We're looking for Marco numbers. And then we're still waiting for the notes back from Silver Lake for the power upgrade. In order to run and get security cameras throughout Silver Lake, we have to upgrade the power. So again, we really need to look at the scope for that site and determine what's really important. Obviously, the broadband is the highest priority, but in order to scale and make sure that everything works, we also have to have the power. So that may result in us scaling back security cameras and Wi-Fi. So that just entails a conversation with our key stakeholders.
Yeah. So the plan that this committee had recommended to the administration to approve it was not fully scoped out.
So the scope was given a high level estimate based on what we knew at the time. Once we pull in our key stakeholders, meaning parks, Parks Department, so Matt Collins, Garrett, once we pulled them in and said, what do you guys really need and what can be used off of this system? That's where we're trying. So you have always that best guess, and then you have the detailed estimate, and then you work from there to scale it and make it work. So we're in the process of doing the absolute, we know these numbers, this is what we want, and then we'll work from there to scale it back.
Is I'm just hearing something a little different than what we were talking about earlier, is that I felt we'd identified a need and this is how much it was going to cost to address those needs. But now you're indicating that some of those needs may not be able to be addressed. And so that, to me, that's a little bit of a disconnect.
Well, the biggest need is the fiber run was originally scoped for Silver Lake. Make sure I'm clear on it. So for Silver Lake, the original scope was to run broadband from Highway H Beach House to the front entrance over to each one of the shelters. It's determined that we can actually be more efficient if we run the fiber from H Beach House. The feed booth was not originally a part of the scope, but has been included, which is a halfway point between the beach house and the front entrance. If we run that broadband that direction, we can then push out Wi-Fi from those locations over to, and please correct me if I'm saying anything incorrect. We can actually run the Wi-Fi from those points over to each one of those shelters. So it's more efficient for us to do that than to dig trenches all the way through the park and run broadband.
I guess my concern was that part of, at least in my understanding, was part of the scope of this project was that one of the drivers was security and the cameras to overwatch the equipment that the county's invested in. And your comment was that you may be scaling back on those cameras.
We may have to, yes. So the first thing you always want to say, it's like remodeling your house, right? You can't put in all the things that you want unless you have the foundation of your house. So same thing, we need to be able to think scalability for the future. And the first thing we need to do is to set those foundational pieces up. That includes the broadband and that includes the power.
So Mr. Chairman, can I just say, so obviously you can't have cameras without power.
Exactly.
So was that assumption not made that there'd be adequate power there?
The
Somebody screwed up or what? I mean.
The concern was that we had solar power at the fee booth, but was the solar power enough at the time? It's been determined that based on need for the fee booth, it makes sense to run the power because in the front entrance, we don't have enough solar power for the cameras in the front entrance. So we want power in that front entrance that used to be there, that's no longer there. And now we need to tie back into the transformer to be able to pull that wire, that power back across the street and to power that front entrance.
The same as the entrance?
No.
They're two separate.
Two separate locations, yes.
Fee booth is up by the lake.
Gotcha.
So will there at some point be shared with the committee what the difference may be to do the project as originally kind of thought of, even though there may be a disconnect and see what the additional funds would be?
Absolutely, yes. I don't want to come in with, here's the dollar amount and, you know, not completely understand what's being asked. We are considering security cameras. We are considering license plate readers. And then, of course, the Wi-Fi as well. As we've talked to our parks people, well, we want four cameras. I think the original ask was three cameras over the beach area to view the beach. And then we want another camera on the backside of the beach house to cover the parking lot. And, so that's kind of expanded a little bit. As well as we want a license plate reader camera on the fee booth and at the front park. That was not originally part of the scope. So we're really starting to understand what the need is, and that will give us our final numbers. At that point, we'll go back to Shelley and Matt and ask, you know, okay, let's prioritize this just like everything else. Obviously, our first two priorities, broadband and power. And then from there, what do we absolutely have to have? We'll try to pull that within the numbers. If that doesn't work, that's when we got to come back to you. Yes, sir.
The power need. I also, if I have it right, there's a request to build a beer garden out there as well. Is this FBO, the beer garden? Is it for their benefit?
This wasn't the scale to meet that need.
So it's a different project. This project is being leveraged to build foundation for that project.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's out of scope of this project technically, and it should be covered by parks for the other project.
Correct. Yes, I do not have that piece as part of the scope of this project. But point of sale system will have the ability for the point of sale system by building the foundation from this project. So that broadband, that Wi-Fi connection will all be available because of this project.
Anyone else have questions or comments?
This is Susan on the phone, and I have a question.
Sure.
My comment is you have ahead of you some difficult decisions. Likely you will not be able to do everything that you had hoped to do. And as you're making those decisions, along with security and along with the things you'd like for the park, I just ask that you also think very much about the people who are using the park and what they would like to make a good experience, because I think that's very important too.
Absolutely agree.
Thanks, John.
Okay. And John, did you have a comment?
Yeah, on the Old Settlers Park there, the Paddock Lake Village Hall, they have several cell towers right there. And it would seem like we'd have cellular coverage in the park there. Is that the same thing you're talking about then?
And this is separate from cell coverage. This would be fiber-based Wi-Fi access.
Fiber-based broadband with Wi-Fi access for the business and other features at the park. It's the least expensive of all the parks that we're looking at, but they felt it was necessary to add security layering, cameras, etc., because the shell and activities, and this was the way to get there.
Well, I thought, you know, if they just put in the Wi-Fi router there to the cell networks, then I don't disagree.
Anyone else? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
John, just real quick, you now know that Sue's on the phone. We've also had join us over the last couple of minutes, Jason Peters, Kevin Meager, and Clement from the Highway Department are on through Teams. And just lastly, if I may, with regard to committee recommendations and status, the recommendation that was made at the most recent meeting about the dedicated broadband champion, for lack of a better term, I just wanted to pass along that the county executive is aware of that recommendation and is studying possibilities on that right now.
As kind of part of this, with respect to some people are going to have to step out, I did want to cover an issue that we're finding that this particular time and date of the month is finding it's not working for a number of people that have fixed meetings. And we would, I don't know if we have time today to try to hash out, but is there any dates or days of the month that work better for people? Or we're missing all of the school administrators from west of the eye today because they have a historical meeting date on this date.
Yeah, and it was explained to me by one of them that during the summertime, they're more adaptable than when school is in session, and the meeting also rotates amongst the schools. So last month, for example, they met at Bristol School at 8 a.m. and then all came up the road here. When they meet at Wheatland or some place farther afield, it's an issue. So
would it be more efficient for Joe to send out a survey and let people mark calendars on the days that they're scheduled, you know, and do it rather than us trying to hash it out here? But is that kind of a consensus that we have a problem with this particular day for people's?
You'd like for some?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm happy to send out a survey just to help inform that survey. Are Thursdays generally all right for this group? If we made it a different Thursday of the month, we might solve this problem.
That's the same
time. Yeah. Third Thursday rather than second, perhaps. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll send out a poll just to codify that, but we'll kind of start with that. Thank you.
Yeah. Certainly made recommendations too. And so the that would jump us to number six, which Joe, you had indicated that the county executive is now aware of. So this would be a discussion of recommended responsibilities of a county broadband coordinator. In part, I think defining the scope of what we saw that person doing would also lead as to Supervisor Michaud and question whether you could justify having a full-time person adding that to ongoing staff and whatnot. So, you know, we might say we only need a part-time person depending on what responsibilities we might add.
Yeah, and part of that, I'll get back to this, make sure why it's in, but part of that is broadband is rolling out by industry as well. So for county purposes, it's really not a full-time role. It's an advocacy role. Who can be the point person within county government to roll up the needs assessment, and who can be the contact person to do any the marketing or whatever we need there for informational purposes. If there's legislation that we need to generate, in other words, we want to know where all the lines are in the meeting, then we want to make it a law to do so. And I'm preempting that because I think it's important. It's a utility. We should know where it is. So somebody that becomes the point or liaison within county government for that operational aspect of it. But it's not Green Bay created a person to jumpstart and move it forward. We're jumpstarting. We're moving.
Yeah.
City of Kenosha is there. Paris is there. Most of coming through Summers, Pleasant Prairie over into Bristol, most of it is already covered out to the west. It's one block that is really sitting void at this point, but there's a build out program there. So really it's a liaison role to take on kind of that core mentorship to make sure it stays active.
My thought on it was that, as Mike had shared with us a few meetings in ago, is that commerce and industry basically define what their needs are, and they can go out and say, you know, this is what I need, who is willing to provide that to me and give me a price. Municipalities, it's not that precise, and we don't necessarily have the same leverage that possibly a corporate is. That is, would that be an accurate statement, Mike?
I think more so the residential. So the residential requirements are driven by the company's forecast, what they think the revenue is going to be, what opportunities exist. So, and if there's a big build and they see a small amount of revenue, they probably aren't going to invest in it.
Yeah.
For us, the revenue is a lot higher, so they're almost always willing to invest in what we want to do. Sometimes it's offset by some money up front for construction costs, but rarely nowadays.
And for the most part, we as communities have tried to congregate, business parks, commercial growth and whatnot. And so a provider knows that they go into a node, that there's going to be customers there.
They're both for-profit models.
Yeah.
So one is corporate, which is a consolidated model. Residential is a diffuse model. And as you get out here, it's more diffuse and more cost to invest. So this person would also be then chasing the grant monies and support structure elements from the county to help move that forward. But it's our forgotten areas that really their focus would be.
Well, the other part of this that I see is the I'm not going to say fundraising, but identifying sources of revenue or grants or whatnot of it. Because quite honestly, I don't have time or interest in, I can't focus on that and get everything else done.
Correct.
So that to me, as that would be useful, as, and I would assume for school districts, it would be somewhat similar, is that if you could have, somebody identifying, this legislation created these grants and then provide them to you to pursue or not pursue, but at least you wouldn't have to constantly be monitoring websites and everything else just to find out, where money might be available.
Yeah, certainly a dedicated resource would benefit us and allow for that kind of more efficient conduit to that. Those opportunities.
Does just using Kenosha Unified as an example, do you have grant writers within the system?
We moved away from those quite a while ago. There used to be some dedicated grant writers, but that's pretty much the last 12, 15 years that we haven't had those positions. If something bubbles up, it's more sporadic and relevant to the department, and then the department head could potentially apply for it or work with the coordinator. So there's still some opportunities. We have the, there used to be a requirement for the 3-year library medium instructional technology plan that used to be a requirement at the state level, but they scaled back on that, and it's a strong recommendation. And those are usually still published on the EPA website. And those are used to align with the Common School Fund, which is a library specific grant to support libraries, both in school districts as well as municipalities. And other subsequent grants that can come along as well. They want to see the, the short-term forecast and how you're utilizing the integrated technology, be it infrastructure, security, devices, things like that. So, but yeah, certainly if there was a dedicated, either not the same dedicated full-time position, but somebody that had that on their radar, that could be more of a of that maintaining awareness so we're not always jumping around and potentially missing something.
Yeah, that's what I'm more concerned about, is it seems as though legislators have identified grants as a way that they can make money available, but it isn't guaranteed money. And it isn't, if next year they don't choose not to fund it, they haven't taken away something that you were counting on because it was, you didn't know whether you're going to get that grant or not. And so I think it's going to become more common, and so that we have to be ready to deal with it.
That's happened in the past, unfortunately. There was the Walker was leaving, there was the generically referred to as like the bank station grant, so they set aside some money that equated to the cost of a Chromebook for every ninth grade student to help high schoolers or high school outfits launch a pseudo one-to-one program. And then I can't remember if it was either first year or second, but they scaled back on that. But when they scaled back on it, it was after orders had already been placed for the fiscal year, and they redirected the funds more to the general funding source for students in general. So it went from a direct categorical one to a open-ended one. So, you know, just kind of shuffled the funds around. But that was an example of an impact one that you know, was kind of rushed through, I guess, without realizing that there was impacts, not just for our district, but across the state. But we do that. We do operate a couple other scenarios that when there's identified funds that it's allocated, but then there's the potential that if they run out of funds or costs change, that it's not guaranteed that it's covered at the state level. For example, an early literacy screener right now, the state set aside funds, but we were on our third vendor that we're working with to offer that for grades PK through 2 and utilizing devices for that as well. But it's iPads and Chromebooks, and so the cost of that assessment is covered. But we don't know until, you know, fiscal year closing on June 30th. We usually get the reimbursement check June 28th. So just in our example, that's usually been a cost of about $40,000 to implement that for 4 grade levels. But again, if a lot of other districts change which product they get and it goes over that sum amount, we're basically on our own to cover that cost.
If I reinforce John's point, though, the distribution of monies is transitioning away from direct distribution.
Yep.
Here, go to place, use it and do something.
Yeah.
To, you know, the dipper in the bucket, you come and get it if you want it. It's available, but you have to prove that you have the need and then sort of decide if you're getting it. So for the county, we have a number of people that do, how should we say, grant watching, grant writing, and chasing monies in the various departments. And this is another one of those areas that if we don't chase it, it won't come. You know, if we don't go get it, it's not going to be there. So
those individuals are concentrating on the division that they're working for, correct?
For the most part, yeah.
And most likely the county does not currently have any staff member who is underutilized, so that we couldn't say to Andy, you know, that Mark is not, you know, we want Mark to devote, you know, a quarter of his time to doing something like that. You're already fully utilizing him, so that.
Wait a minute, it's government. Every one of them took that degree, they're underutilized. Don't have to do.
But
thanks, Chris.
Thanks,
Mindy. It makes sense to consolidate that function in different areas since they're all looking at kind of the same basis of those funds rather than have them distributed out in the various departments.
There's competency with them as well. So I think that's where they've done more diluted.
I would think the competency is less important than the hours to crack down
the money. Yeah, the competency is knowing how to get it, how
right.
What to get. Yeah.
I'm assuming that knowing private industry is that if somebody's identified that there's money, there's companies out there who are willing to do that type of search. I wonder if that's cost effective or if it at all.
For the investigation, is okay. There a consultant or a they develop around identification of opportunities for grants?
Yeah.
Or possibly partnering with other companies.
Yeah, that's a good one, Mike, because right now, you know, some of the stuff that Wisconsin has done is that they're going to reward you if you do work with another governmental agency. So it's a very good point.
Any other questions?
You don't have to whisper.
Okay, sorry.
Do you all know Savannah Myers from UW Extension?
Yes, I was about to say, so I cannot dedicate full time, but I did talk to the county exec at 1.2, and she said that she wants me to start attending these meetings too as kind of our point person for UW Extension. So we do, through our community development institution, get emails about every month with different grant opportunities or different broadband, like kind of education opportunities and things along those lines. So the latest ones I've gotten, I have sent to Joe, but I will keep my eye out for those. And while I can't dedicate my full time to just broadband, because I am working on other stuff, for example, with Andy, I'm working on housing stuff and I'm working on some other stuff with Kava, but I'm definitely willing to put some of my time towards broadband as well. And I can help write maybe portions of a grant, but I can't fully write an entire grant for the kind of committee, but I will definitely keep my eye out and kind of be that point person from UW Extension for Kenosha County. And I also have different ties to other counties as well. So for example, I've talked to a person from Dane County from Extension who kind of helped bring their broadband stuff and do their surveys. I actually have some example surveys too as well that they used over there. And I have talked to her at least one or two times already. And there are other counties that you've all seen that have implemented broadband well that you're interested in learning more. And if Extension was at all kind of part of that, I'd be more than willing to help make those connections as well.
Savannah, pardon my ignorance about this. Are you solely in Kenosha County or do you also work out of? Okay.
Nope. So I'm solely in Kenosha County and I am the community development educator here, but we're focusing more on economic development now because a lot of you may have met Amy Ryle, who was in my position prior. However, we've kind of taken a turn from just community development to more of that economic development, which wholeheartedly includes the entire spectrum of broadband. So please let me know how I can help in any way, and I'll be more than willing. While I can't dedicate my full time to it, any time that I can dedicate to it along with my other projects, I'd be happy to help.
I'm going to pursue Mike's idea of rather than each county department seeking and educating themselves about grants and whatnot, would it be useful to have one person doing that? How would that deciding whether that was feasible or not, at what level, who would initiate that conversation? Do department heads meet collaboratively from time to time at county level?
I think not necessarily from that standpoint. We're not meeting on that.
But I was just wondering is to decide whether or not, you were saying that, that seeking grants had a certain level of competency, knowing what was needed, but you were saying at the same time, just finding the opportunities is the important part to decide which one was most important or made the most sense. How would we find that out?
Not to dampen the discussion, I think it leads outside of scope for us a little bit, but at the same token, in my mind, it flows through the exec's office to then collaborate with the department heads and say, how can we best apply our resources, our headcount, to maximize the opportunity to benefit? So we're right in the middle of budget development. So I know she's looking at all of that intensively right now, meeting happening right now. So it's more, we've had the discussion, I think it feeds back then, is there another way to do this that's more cost-effective headcount-wise? And then how do we, Broadband Commission, make a recommendation for the broadband side of the discussion to say somebody has to be chasing this money or it's just going to disappear on us and we're not going to get our job done. So fair enough.
Yeah. So it almost seems then from what to pass that on to the administration to consider is that we need to, as a committee, identify what is each of our municipalities? What is each our specialty? What do we need that we don't feel we're covering now?
Yes.
And could that hurt that position?
Improve efficiencies and up.
Yes. So we almost need to have people submit maybe as homework for next month. That come in with, talk to whatever constituency you're kind of representing and come back with saying, this is what I don't have time to do. This is, this is what would enhance my efforts. Some of this is we're finding right now with the Spectrum grant that covered part of Bristol, part of Brighton, part of Paris, is that rather than Randy, myself, and Sue all chasing some of these things separately, is that we're finding that if the three of us share information and one kind of take responsibility, it's working better. And then I'm thinking that same way with some of these issues, is that if we identified, if I could get this off my plate, it would be better.
It better also, to Mike's point, somebody with that focalized competency, somebody that then owns it on a routine. I mean, you're heading up a village, you're managing a village, Sue's heading up a village, but your competency isn't broadband. So you're identifying, this is our need. These are the competencies we lack to go after that need and fulfill it. Can the county then overlay for the county wide to make sure that we can be effective and efficient in doing so? I was reading a piece because I have a massive hornet's nest on one of my big stands and I can't get in. And they said, take a shotgun and blast it. Okay, so light load on a shotgun is a very wide pattern. And that's kind of the way we're doing with every community chasing something. It's very wide pattern. It lacks targeting, it lacks effectiveness. And you know, what can we do to narrow that down and be?
John?
Yes, Sue.
Joe just kind of sent an email out to all of us with kind of the exact questions we should answer. That way there would be consistency across the board.
A good recommendation, Sue. Thank you.
Okay.
You and I, the three of us, will develop those questions.
And then the other part, I guess, that I question is whether or not we would be making a recommendation as to whether this would be an ongoing position, or do we think that certain needs will be met here, and so that we're saying that this might only be a position for 2 years or something like that. Now, sometimes when you do that, it's hard to fill the position because nobody wants to leave their current position to come fill a 2 year. But it's interesting, as some of these things are getting accomplished, is that you know, Paris fought for so long just to get fiber into the community. Well, now it's here. That's the availability of fiber. That problem is totally going to go away.
Correct.
And now we're going to have some different issues. But yeah. This one that had been so consuming is gone.
Yeah, the large one is resolved. And I think that's where we said it's probably not a full-time dedicated, but a part-time responsible type of headcount. So it's somebody that grows into their role, does this, and then grows into another role. Mm-hmm. Could be in IT, could be in, I think Shelley was the person that kind of we pointed fingers at last time. So, but probably a role that transitions over time. But yeah, it would have a horizon line, some type of sunset to it. Who knows what that is?
And Mike, from industry standpoint, and I realize you're not technically industry, but commerce, as you watch e-commerce and all this other stuff, is it still evolving for you, or is it some? Do you see it as a maturing platform, or?
E-commerce or the infrastructure you're talking about?
Well, I'm saying e-commerce utilizing the internet, you know, is are there ongoing needs that is it changing enough that industry still needs a constant input and updates? And
so from the core technology, fiber is basically future-proof for a long time. There's so much capacity that's available. The technology that involves the metal support, once it's there, you're good for a long time. I think where you see the needs are in smaller businesses that aren't technically astute, that begin to evolve and they need that additional technology to survive. They might not have connections, or that's basically what a lot of these grants I think are important for, is to help out smaller businesses and residential, not necessarily the next tier of business.
Okay. And that's a good point of making sure that we don't get dragged off our focus, that really is we're kind of chartered here. It's to create the broadband availability. It's not necessarily we're supposed to advise how it will be used once it's in place.
But in the way, I mean, the need for having somebody focused on this will diminish rapidly. Very rapidly, I think.
18 to 24 and it's done.
Yep.
But I agree with the sentiment. As soon as you tell somebody that, it's like, oh, wait a minute, then what am I going to be doing? So
a lot of the carriers are racing to get the footprint in quickly, and we see that quite a bit.
Yeah, especially my neighbor. Pulling orange pipes on every line, every road.
Any other, are we comfortable? We've covered six to everybody's comfort. Okay, then item seven is kind of a little what we've already been touching on here is to share any issues that are limiting broadband related safety, growth, or innovation within the community or field they are representing. I guess that's in part, I think, could be folded into number six, is that as part of when you're doing your homework, if we can add comments like that in, you know, because I'm thinking in terms of this is we had people that struggled, that wanted internet-based security systems for their homes that weren't available because they didn't have quality internet. And now they were achieving that, they're able to address it, things like that.
Which I can do a security system. I can't even download a streaming movie.
Well, the writers are on strike, so there's nothing new coming down, apparently. So.
That's true.
So unless anybody has anything that they came to the meeting here with to share today.
I'll speak for a moment, and it's a conversation that I have with Sue and personal experience. Two companies are pulling, I just said, orange pipes everywhere. And I've talked to Shelley about it as well as Clemens. They're subcontractors that are contracted to put the infrastructure lines in place and doing their work. While they're working quickly and I'll say efficiently, they're not working, in my estimate, collaboratively with the communities, the residents, or in a safe manner. So I'll just use JB as an east-west corridor between 75 and 45. They've been pulling lines there for the last 2.5-3 weeks now. And the trucks block the road, essentially, making it extremely dangerous. When you're coming up an uphill there, you know traffic's coming at you at not a speed limit plus 15, 20, and you can't see through the trucks or around the trucks, and there's no flag or et cetera. So the pain of the install is also real. So I'm not complaining that we're getting an install. It's good. People are excited about that. But as we race forward with the install of technology, we also have to be cognizant and aware of what it means to the communities. So, and like I said, I have talked to Shelley and Clement, and they are working to try to mitigate some of those things. And I noted yesterday there were all the trucks on one side of the road, and it's adversely positioned on both sides, blocking them. So they're learning as they go. So excited that it's coming. Need to be cognizant and aware of what that impact is as it happens.
Those guys are cool. That's going to be doing that.
Yeah, correct.
Their regard for.
They could care less. They're leaving next week.
Yeah. Right.
And they did not budget anything for flaggers. We've had that conversation with them, and yeah. There's no money in their budgets for.
Yeah.
For flaggers, so we finally got them to agree to put cones out, so that was at least and far enough away from the vehicle that a oncoming motorist has at least some sense of.
Yeah, and that's what I noted yesterday. They trucks were lined up on one side instead of both sides. They had cones, but then their heads are on the swivel, like, oh no, car coming, oh no, car coming. So it's like, yeah, they're here for a quick hit. They'll get
the job done. Determine what they're doing, but I'm sure they have permits, right?
Well, that's the ironic a part of this is that many of the rural communities do not have adopted ordinances for working in the right of way because we've never had anybody need to work in the right of way. And you cannot, I've talked to council about this, you can't go arbitrarily imply that you have rules when you don't. So then that gives them a little bit of a cowboy attitude of we can do anything. The good thing is that they're putting this trunk line in with the idea that they're going to get customers. And they know that if I ruin your lawn putting my trunk line in, you aren't going to sign up with me to be a customer, which is what they want long term. So they have been very responsive but it takes us as municipal leaders to constantly be contacting them and saying, you know, you got to go talk to this person, this person.
That's right. I think the nomadic comment is apropos. They don't have vested interest in the community. We do. So holding their feet to the fire to say, you know, you may be here camping out this week, but reality is we live here.
Yeah. And then the other part, Mike, was that the state of Wisconsin encouraged counties and towns to do an expedited permitting process to speed up fiber installation. And so it's supposed to be a one-stop shop as that we all signed agreements that we would not do anything to hold up fiber communication. And so that they're supposed to be able to contact Kenosha County Highway Department and basically get all of their needs met in one place. Ironically, that what's holding up this installation is the state of Wisconsin. And DOT is holding up the permitting, not unfairly, but it is holding up. Well, actually, it's not the DOT. DOT can't sign off on it until the DNR signs off on it. The DNR is finding things and isn't signing off.
So bureaucracy.
Well, they're actually finding things, and so I guess in some ways it's okay. But it just seems ironic that we were told by the state streamline your permitting process, and now it's their permitting process that's actually slowing it down.
Like parasol.
Yeah. So very good. Then, with formation going on, item number eight was the formation of the focus groups. I think I'm going to say is that the information that we do for 6 and 7 will in part show us what areas people's primary concerns are, and we can identify those areas of focus groups based on people's response to 6 and 7. So
yeah, I'll give you an honest interpretation or impression right now. I don't see a lot of focus groups. Might be a couple, but.
The thing in terms of more of it is that I think the focus groups are really maybe outside the scope of what this committee is meant to be, is that focus groups, the more I think about it, is really identifying what do I need once I get broadband, you know, type thing. And that's not the focus of the committee.
Next step or next layer.
Yeah. Then does anyone have anything they want to bring up or share, or is Sue or Jason or anybody online have anything?
No.
And we still have people online.
We do. Jason, Kevin, Clement, anything?
Very good. Well, then, thank you, everyone. We'll get the two things on. One will be the questionnaire on picking a new date, and then we'll separately put together the kind of the questionnaire part.
Yep.
For the other items. So we're open to adjourn then.
I'll make that motion to adjourn.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye. Aye. Opposed. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.